softball's now, unfortunately, it's not something I really turn to quite often anymore. For me now, it's just, it's a good memory.
Hey, it's another great day to get better. I'm Toby Brooks. Becoming Undone is the podcast for those who dare bravely, risk mightily, and grow relentlessly. Join me each week as I invite a new guest to examine how high achievers can transform from falling apart to falling into place. Sometimes life can throw us curveballs that, looking back, can set us off in entirely new directions. For California native Stacy Salazar, it was a series of chance happenings and encounters centered mostly around softball early in her formative years that started her toward a life in sport. When her father was diagnosed with cancer early in her childhood, he set out to spend as much time as possible with his family, so the two started playing catch together in the backyard. From there, her love for the sport grew through rec leagues and early experiences on the diamond. However, when she wasn't picked for a 12U All-Star team, she decided to get serious about the sport, and that pursuit eventually led to elite travel ball teams, specialized coaching, and college scholarship opportunities. Along the way, she realized that the field of athletic training was a great fit for her love of sport and medicine, eventually leading her to Texas Tech to pursue a graduate degree in a series of jobs that have provided not just a career, but a purpose. Listen in to episode 35 with Stacy Salazar. Change up. Becoming Undone is the podcast for those who dare bravely, risk mightily, and grow relentlessly. Join me, Toby Brooks, as I invite a new guest each week to examine how high achievers can transform from falling apart to falling into place. This week, we're fortunate enough to have a former student who certainly has been an inspiration to me. Stacy Salazar is an athletic trainer living in the Austin, Texas area. She's a graduate of the TTUHSC Masters of Athletic Training Program back in 2012. And before moving to Texas, had a career as a high school and then college softball player. And when I came up with the idea for this show, Stacy, you were one of the first people I thought about because you made that pivot from athletics into a career. And since then, you've kind of had to change or you've chosen to change. So super excited to have you here. Welcome, Stacy.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, the question I always start off with is, who did you want to be growing up?
So I had of course you had quite a few. Of course, the one, now thinking about it, the one that I really wanted to be was an astronaut, but realized, okay, astrophysics, I'm really not that great about. And then after that, I always kind of had to be in the medical field. And from there, I was thinking about maybe becoming an OB. So in high school, as a freshman, actually, I came into the athletic training room where my now colleague, Todd Olvera, was working, and I had asked him for a bag of ice, and he was kind of gave me a little sarcastic comment, which was funny. And then I don't know what happened. I just kind of fell in love with it. And so I ended up becoming a student athletic training aide when I was a sophomore. I was one of the first two athletes / students that was able to kind of join that program because there was a requirement. And that really kind of got me through high school in addition to softball. And so, and just from there, I knew that I was going to be an athletic trainer and there was nothing that was going to stop me. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I started with.
One of my favorite quotes you actually shared with me the first time, I've heard it since, but you were the first person that said it. And I believe you said that your dad used to coach you with control the controllable. So I knew that you brought this mentality of not just a softball player, a pitcher. And that's a different mentality altogether where you're in control and you are dictating your reality. And so it was interesting for me, for you, as well as several other students that I've had that have made that switch from being a competitive collegiate athlete into a career as an athletic trainer. So before that, you ended up playing college softball, and that doesn't just happen. That's usually the culmination of years and years of work and planning and travel ball and all these things. So start at the beginning as an athlete, wherever that was for you.
That is one thing, is I definitely have quite the story, and it's actually been something that I really love to share with my athletes that are kind of in need, where they're really not sure what's going on and how to overcome certain things, because my story is a little bit different. And so you talk to me and like, I'm really not like a trouble, like problem kid, but my teenage years, it definitely kind of summed up like that from softball. But so how it started was, originally I was never an athlete. My dad was actually diagnosed with cancer, I believe, when I was 12 years old. And he was in sales and was really like actively involved in that. And then when he was diagnosed, he decided, you know what, I'm done. I'm done kind of like working, and I'm going to spend whatever I can with my kids. And so my dad and I really got close during that time and started playing catch. And he ended up coaching a softball team. And of course, I became the pitcher because I was the coach's daughter. And then from there, we realized I started getting a little bit better. And then he decided to get me involved in like pitching lessons. And so the reason why was just so I could make the JV high school team. And so we did that. And then I didn't make the all-star team, I think, when I was 12 years old. And I was really upset about it. And I remember looking to him and told him that this will never happen again. And so he said, okay. And so he really, I owe a lot of my success to my dad, clearly.
Part amazing, part terrifying, but completely understandable. Stacy's disappointment for not making our 12U All-Star team may have been the spark that lit a competitive fire within her, that set her life down a completely different path. Who knows, as she made that team, maybe the challenge doesn't get her working tirelessly toward her goals. And while obviously every parent and every team member wants to win and wants to achieve, as we will hear Stacy tell it, that letdown was actually the first step towards success for her. I feel this in my soul today. My son Tay and his team, the Lubbock Christian High Eagles, just lost yesterday in the semifinals of the TAPS State Baseball Championship here in Texas. While they made it to the Final Four and by all accounts had a better year than last season, they fell just short of their goal of a state title. But maybe that disappointment is the fuel the returning team members need in order to put in the work this offseason. The future will tell. But in little Stacy's case, that disappointment of falling short was just the push she needed to get serious about her goals.
He decided to, again, get me involved in some pitching lessons. I got better. I came back that next rec ball season and I started hitting spots, and all of a sudden everyone that was involved in the rec program was looking at me like, oh my gosh, like who is this girl? Because I clearly changed within a year. And then we realized, okay, I outgrew that. And then from there we started thinking, okay, let's get a different pitching coach. And my pitching coach ended up being the same pitching coach. His name's Bill Hobbs, and he's one of my favorite people to this day. And he was actually the same pitching coach for Katie Burkhart, who won the World Series as a lefty pitcher for Arizona State.
Now, obviously, you can't see it, but my jaw hit the floor when Stacy shared this. Bill Hobbs was the same pitching coach who worked with Katie Burkhart, and Katie Burkhart was episode 29, Diamonds. And I only connected with Katie because of her former teammate, Bridget Borzillo, in episode 25, Dance. And I only connected with Bridget because of my dear friend and former athlete, Kara Fry, who was episode 2. The interconnectedness of this world sometimes astounds me. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in providence.
So I got involved with him, and he taught me a rise ball.
I'm going to interrupt you right there. I did not know this. Katie is my next episode. I interviewed her.
Are you serious? That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. No, that's awesome. She taught me my curveball.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she and I would sit there, and that was our pitching practice, was we would be out on the field together for hours. And we would just do long toss, spinning the ball back and forth with each other. And she taught me my curveball. We decided to give it a shot for me to go down south and start trying out for a team. And so I ended up making a team. And then that just kind of started the spiral. And from there, we just started going on teams and stuff. And so, but the one thing that I really struggled with was, again, I was never supposed to be an athlete. I was never supposed to be a softball player. And so growing up, it was very difficult for me to understand my full potential. And even to this day, that is one thing that I have a difficult time accepting was, you know, I was actually fairly okay. And I'll use that term okay when I know it's probably a better term I should use, but that's something that has always kind of been difficult for me to deal with and stuff. So, yeah, so I just kind of went from there. And during high school, because of all of those fears, I let fear kind of take over me quite a bit. We started having a little bit of some family problems and stuff. And so, and I took full responsibility for that because everything was focused around me and softball. And, I kind of started ditching class and all that stuff. And come my senior year, I almost didn't graduate even if it wasn't for my mom bailing me out. So it was just kind of a big old ordeal and stuff. I felt the pressure of being recruited September 1st of my senior or my junior year. I immediately got letters and offers from Stanford, UCLA, LSU. And again, that deep down fear that I wasn't good enough really held me back. And so I didn't pursue it. And so I actually ended up getting a full ride offer from George Mason for me to come out there to Virginia. But deep down, I knew that based on the situation I was going through, that I knew if I came home, I was coming home to two Christmases, and I really wanted to make sure my family was okay. And I know, like, now talking about that, like, I know it's not fully their responsibility, but, you know, as a kid, that's just kind of what you think of. But honestly, I'm glad it worked out the way it did because I was able to go to a junior college. I was still able to keep working with my pitching coach, Bill. I was still able to be really close to my dad, and I was able to be there when my grandfather passed away. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I had moved to Virginia. And also from there, I wouldn't have been able to find Vanguard. And so Vanguard ended up recruiting me. This is like the craziest story. So my grandfather passed away, and he was at every single one of my softball games and every one of my, just any event whatsoever. And so I remember Valentine's Day actually was the last day I got to see him. And he was in the hospital because he had a brain tumor, and they had just let him out. And it worked out perfectly where our softball team was down south in California to play in some game. And he was able to get out and came to the game. And I was able to spend the first two innings with him in the stands. And he was able to essentially, like, you know, tell me that he loved me and all that stuff, because that was the last time I was going to see him. And then he ended up passing a week later. And it worked out where we had a double header. So I was already down south, so I was able to see him immediately after he passed. And the next day, my dad got a phone call from a travel team called Crunch, and they wanted me to come play with them for the summer. And then that very first tournament was when I got recruited by Vanguard, and then ended up going that route. And so I kind of put that on Grandpa made that happen. From Vanguard, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And so I decided maybe I want to be like an emergency room trauma doctor because I loved that aspect of athletic training. And it turned out they had a program, but they just canceled the accreditation when they had the program when I transferred in. I found out that a couple of my friends were in an athletic training program. And because it was a small private Christian school, they allowed me to still claim to be an athletic training major without taking two classes, so I wouldn't be able to sit for the BOC exam. And that was the best thing that ever happened, because then I had to pursue my entry-level master's degree, came across Texas Tech, HSC, and you were the one that actually interviewed me. And I will never forget that day on being on the phone. I was talking to you, and it was like, I've known you forever. And I got off the phone and looked at my dad and said, I'm going to Lubbock, Texas. And to this day, that is one of the best things. Like, I tell everyone, that was the best decision that happened. But that would have never happened if it wasn't for the way life kind of fell the way that it did.
That was certainly one of the things I loved about the entry-level master's option. When I was growing up and going through college, you had to pretty much choose. Do you want to be a collegiate athlete, or do you want to do your hours and your clinicals? And I tried as a basketball player to make that happen for one semester, and it just became clear, like, I'm shortchanging both at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the entry-level master's didn't really exist. And so that's why I've always been really excited about former collegiate athletes entering into our program, because you're able to connect and you understand aspects of care that I feel like those of us that didn't play at the collegiate level, there's just an automatic credibility that you bring that your high schoolers or your college patients, they recognize that you're one of them. Like, you've been through this, you've done this, you understand it. And so I do recall, this was a pre-Zoom era. We just talked on the phone. I didn't have a video teleconference with you, but I do recall how excited I was about the opportunity to have you come to Lubbock. So that isn't an easy transition. And I think a lot of times, even we as healthcare providers gloss over just how hard that end of a career can be. For me, I'll never forget. I went to a rodeo of all things, which I've been to one in my whole life. And I'm walking in the facility and I hear the horn when, you know, they're bull riding or whatever. And I hear the horn and it sounded just like the horn in the arena. And it's like PTSD, like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to play in a basketball game again. And it just pops up and it just bubbles up, and just this grief that I didn't know what to do with just kind of stuck around. And so talk me through that. You go from this being pretty much your life and your family's life revolving around this from 12 years old until you're done with undergrad. What was that transition like from collegiate athlete to grad student?
Yeah, it was hard. And I'll be completely honest, it's still hard to this day. And so that is one thing that I'm kind of learning how to overcome, is how do you become your own person without having that as your identity? And so that's where I am now. I'm a big believer of, like, mental health, because obviously when I was growing up, it still was fairly taboo, and thankfully it's not so taboo anymore. But I've definitely been diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and it's still something that I have to combat every day. But the big thing is just, it's hard to, growing up, I've always had this level of perfectionism that I had to have the perfect, you had to have the perfect pitch. You have to have the perfect, like, linear way of how life is going to be. And so that's something that, as an athletic trainer, I really make sure I connect on with any of my athletes that are being actively recruited or something along those lines, is because growing up, you didn't have those people telling you, hey, it's going to be okay if it's not, if you don't take the full ride scholarship. It's going to be okay if you decide that you want to do something else later on in the world. And so I think normalizing that is kind of a big thing. And so I've been able to, I mean, it's taken, I'm going to be honest, a lot of therapy and a lot of hours in that aspect, but giving myself the grace that, you know, it's okay that you're going to make certain changes and you might make mistakes along the way. And so normalizing that, I think, has been a big, big part of kind of helping transition from that. And so, but of course, the big thing is you just have to understand that, you know, who are you outside of being a softball pitcher? Who are you outside of being an athletic trainer? And that's something that I've learned, as you know, I value the way I have my relationships with my really close friends. I value the fact that I am able to have regular conversations with my family. I mean, I'm one of those weirdos. I talk to my mom and dad every day. And so I like value myself on that aspect and on that level. And in addition, the bonus part is, hey, I got to be a softball pitcher, and hey, I am also an athletic trainer. So yeah, just really kind of figuring out on that aspect, who are you outside of that?
I think that is such a great way to think about it, because mm-hmm. so often it feels like sports is taken from us, and that aspect of who we are, very few people choose it. It just kind of happens. You age out or you don't have that opportunity, but you said it, you got a chance to be a softball pitcher, and that helped mm-hmm. shape who you are as a woman today.
Yeah.
So you come to Texas Tech from California, a little bit of a culture shock, and find yourself in a master's program, graduate, pass your BOC. You chose to stick around in Texas. So talk me through that decision from graduation to ending up at Cedar Creek.
So again, one thing I've always dealt with is just imposter syndrome. I mean, I've always thought, you know, I'm not good enough. I can't, like, I need the extra help. And I think now I'm actually about to be 33 on Saturday. And I think I'm finally getting to the point where I'm like, okay, you can do hard things and you can do it well. So going to Cedar Creek, the big thing is I really didn't want to go home, because unfortunately for the profession of athletic training, is California still is very behind when it comes to athletic training. And that's something I just can't get behind. But I had such an incredible experience at Texas Tech and working with my mentors and, of course, all of my professors, that I really wanted to kind of test where I am out in Texas, and just kind of build a name for myself out here. And so, yeah, Cedar Creek was the first high school I applied to, and luckily I was able to get it. It was definitely a different level of shock to your system of, oh crap, like you're the one responsible now. Like, you're the one that all these kids are going to be looking up to and stuff. And so I can say, you know, I've definitely grown significantly since my time at Cedar Creek, but it was definitely a great opportunity to really kind of understand what I'm capable of. And so my big thing is I've always really wanted to give back to the athletic training community because of what it did for me in high school. As I like touched base before, in high school, I got so scared that I wouldn't go to class or something. And I just kind of decided maybe if I just kind of stop, everything will go away. And my athletic trainer, we call him O. O is what got me through that. And he's the reason why I was able to kind of continue to pursue as an athletic trainer. And so I know in order to give back to him, I want to create a program that students are able to kind of feel where they're welcome, where they're able to find out who they are. And it doesn't necessarily have to be around their athletic training. It has to do with them just feeling that it's okay for them to hit those bumps in the road as they grow up to become young adults. And so with Cedar Creek, I was really excited that I had that opportunity to do that.
I know for a lot of students that graduate from our program, they take that first job and it's such a relief. Pass the BOC, check mark. Mm-hmm. Get that first job, check. And then September, October, November of that first year rolls around and you think, this is what I worked so hard for? Like, I am drowning mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of the older generation, there was almost like this badge of honor to just wear it, to just be miserable, to work all these hours and not make much money. And 20 years later, you look back and you think, wow, I might have done that differently. You had a chance to make a pivot, and you work with a software company. Not a lot of my former students have spent time in the software industry. So how does that come about? And did you see any parallels between shifting from softball to grad school and high school athletic training into more of a non-traditional setting?
So actually after Cedar Creek, I went to another high school and worked at, it's called Aikens High School out in Austin. And that was great. It just, what I've learned is kind of like what you touched on about is, I know the older generation of athletic trainers, there's that stigma where you just have to tough it out, suck it up, and just kind of, as I guess Texans would say, cowboy up and get through it. And so I'm about to be 33. I'm still single. Luckily I have a house, but you know, I would love to have a family someday and have kids. That's one thing that I am still concerned about is, you know, being an athletic trainer full time, you really are so focused on helping everyone else's kids, but really being able to set some time up for yourself. Unfortunately, those two high schools just didn't work out for me mentally and in order for me to kind of obtain those goals. And so over the winter break, actually, of 2021, I came across this company called Shift Group. And it's a recruiting company. And what they do is they really work with former athletes to get them involved in sales, because sales is a very highly competitive field. And so in that relation, it does relate to athletic training and athletics as a whole, because you have to be quick on your feet. You have to go and figure out what it is that you need to learn in order to kind of come out on top. And so I ended up working with this recruiting company, and they got me connected with this company called Coupa. And so, yeah, for the past year, I've been acting as an ADR, which is an account development representative. And I get to do a lot of outbound reaching out, which means I get to call a lot of people and say, hey, would you be interested in learning a little bit more about our product? And it's definitely, we call it, it's a grind every day. Actually, I'm currently in the process of looking about going back to being an athletic trainer full time. And so kind of one thing, as I stated before, you know, it's going to be okay if you make different routes here and there. But what I'm finding is I have a very deep embedded passion for athletic training. And even though I kind of sat the year out, it's something that I still have the opportunity to go back to, and I'm able to still give back as a PRN. And so, yeah, now I'm actually in the process of getting back into it full time. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I certainly appreciate that. It took me a couple of tries before I finally made the switch into education full time. So, totally understand. Yeah. It kind of gets in your veins and it's hard to shake.
Yes.
Where did you see yourself now at your age when you were little?
I was supposed to be married with two kids and like probably a stay-at-home mom or something. And so, I mean, that was, of course, you know, the very traditional outlook that back then society kind of had, that I thought society would have for me. And so, but of course, that is something that even to this day, I'm still like working on, like, hey, it's okay. I don't have to be married right now. And that's, there's no chance in heck that I can be raising kids at this moment, because I'm still trying to figure out where it is that I'm supposed to be and stuff. So if you would have told me that as of right now, I would be doing tech sales, I would have been like, no way. And so, but also, just where I'm at right now, I don't think I kind of envisioned it before. Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned imposter syndrome, and I that's certainly been a consistent theme that's emerged from the close to 30 interviews I've done so far. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that high achievers all seem to have, they still have doubts. And I think the important part of this for me is normalizing the fact that nobody's plans go according to the way they've mapped them out. Nobody's reality goes according to plan, I guess is the better way to say that. Mm-hmm. And so chances are you wouldn't have mapped this way. But what has this journey, this route taught you that you probably wouldn't have learned if it would have gone according to plan?
I'm definitely very resourceful. If I am passionate about something, I will do whatever it takes to make sure it happens. I am a firm believer if something needs to be done, it needs to be done well. But of course, I have to be passionate about it in order for it to happen. That is one thing, you know, my journey to get to where I am today, like, it was a rocky one. It had some awesome, you know, high notes to it and everything. But in reality, I really wouldn't change a thing, because I am where I am. And I mean, I have a really awesome house that I've been able to, I mean, I've never known anything about having a house, and I've been able to add so much to it that I didn't know I was capable of doing. And I think in the end, that's one thing I've just learned, is I am capable of really anything that I set my mind out to. That's just kind of been the cool thing. And as I get older, I'm starting to appreciate that a little bit more. And I think that imposter syndrome is starting to kind of go away, but it's, you know, it's still lingering here and there.
I think a telling question that we can ask ourselves that really gets at the heart of our emotion and the heart of our motivation, probably better said, is what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail?
Oh gosh. So many things. So if I knew I couldn't fail, see, you always ask those hard questions. I remember even to this day when I was a student, you asked, where do you want to be an athletic trainer? And I was like, I don't know, Dr. Brooks, as long as I'm one, I'm happy. So if I couldn't fail, I mean, I think I would, you know, you'd take more risks because you would know the outcome more, you know, going out on certain dates with people that you don't know because you don't have to worry that, you know, they're going to be like some weirdo or something. Or my take, I think I would just be more willing to try other things, I think, if I knew I couldn't fail, because failure does tend to hold you back a little bit more than,
right.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I think for a lot of folks that transition out of sport, or in some people's lives, it's out of art. They're an actor, actress, they're a performer, whatever. Once that's done, lots of times we can kind of throw things toward that hole. You know, mm-hmm. there's kind of this gaping void that sport left. What are some things you've tried, and what do you think has worked the best?
Yeah, well, I tried coaching for a little bit and then, decided that's not for me. And so, there's one thing is just, you know, it's disappointing, but I feel like the level of perfectionism expected from parents is becoming too much. And, it's kind of taken away from the ability to allow kids to grow in their own way, because parents are putting so much pressure on their kids in horribly young age. I mean, I have, like, I know 4-year-olds that are playing baseball competitively and their parents are screaming and yelling. And so, but yeah, so like I tried to get into coaching and even doing pitching lessons and coach a softball team, and it was great. But then, you know, I just didn't like that aspect of it. Softball's now, unfortunately, it's not something I really turn to quite often anymore. And so for me, it's more of a, yeah, I did that and it's kind of cool. But even to this day, like, I'll get supportive of my athletes if they're playing in a softball game and stuff. Of course, I'll be their ultimate cheerleader. If they ask, I'll tell them. But I'm really not open to be like, you know, hey, I did this, because, you know, yeah, I did. It was great. But unless somebody asks me and wants my help from it, then, you know, I just kind of let them be and let them learn their own thing. And so, you know, I do enjoy watching baseball. That's exciting for me. But for me now, it's a good memory.
This to me is a sign of one thing, or maybe two. First, Stacy has healed. When I first met her, the wounds of a career not long done were still pretty fresh. She wasn't just Stacy Salazar. She was Stacy Salazar, former pitcher at Vanguard University. Now, not in a cheesy or an annoying way, mind you. It was just still very much a part of who she was. But today, Stacy is different. In addition to healing, it tells me she's found her confidence. Who she is doesn't need a title or an accomplishment tagged along for emphasis. Oh, sure, she'll tell you about her playing days, if you ask, and she's proud of them. But they aren't core to who she is. And that's awesome.
It's a nice thing to kind of reflect on. And, oh, cool, look what I did. Now, I still have pictures, of course, of my senior day with my pitching coach and my mom and dad. Those are framed around my house and stuff. So those are kind of the nice little reminders of, yeah, I did that. One of those things I've just learned, you know, not everyone needs to know about it if they don't want to know. Yeah.
I love music and the emotions that it can frequently represent. And for a softball player, yeah. I don't know if you were a PO, if you ever got the bat. I don't know what your walk-up was.
No, I was a PO.
What song would you pick to represent Stacy?
Oh, boy. So, ironically, I was never able to have a walk-up song ever in my entire softball career. And so even when we went to Vanguard, it was before they've changed things. And so now they have walk-up songs. But my dad and I used to joke around that Aerosmith, Janie's Got a Gun, was my walk-up song. And so that was always a big one for me. Maybe, honestly, maybe some Queen song. I like Queen a lot. I can't think of a specific one, but, you know, that's something I'd have to get back to you on. You know, I'd want it to be some like motivating one or something with a heavy rock intro to really get me pumped up. The Are You Gonna Be My Girl from Jet. That was a good pump up song back in the day. But yep. I like anything with heavy rock.
So last question, and I ask it of everyone, what for Stacey remains undone?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. And so I know right now I'm still just kind of really trying to figure out still who it is that I am. And so like I have a good idea, but where is my niche going to be where I'm able to like, you know, be passionate, but then at the same time, understand, you know, that there's more to life than just work kind of thing. I still want to have a family someday. And so, that's still definitely undone. But, you know, I think right now my big thing is just really trying to figure out how I can give back to the athletic training community. Right now we're in a great opportunity from an unfortunate event to really start advocating for ourselves and really share the value of what it is that athletic trainers bring to that the medical profession. And so I'm actually hoping that with this next opportunity, it'll give me more of a voice where I'm able to start sharing with the community of Austin and the surrounding areas of what it is that we do, and hopefully get to a more national understanding of athletic trainers. I think taking that year off has really allowed me to realize, you know, this is my passion and this is what I want to give back to, and, you know, find a way of how to do that effectively will be great. And so I think that's kind of the next undone thing. But the big thing is too, is just, you know, living life and enjoying each minute. I want to start traveling a little bit more and explore the world a little bit, and overall just be happy and content with what I have.
Here's my coaching for you, pitcher. Sometimes you can be on the field and you don't have to be in the circle, and that's okay.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't have to have the control every time.
Just stand out in right field and let the game come to you once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm definitely in that phase right now. So
well, cool. Well, Stacey, this has been awesome. It's great to catch up. I'm so proud of you and all that you've done. You went from being a Californian in Texas, which is hard, to being a Red Raider in Austin, which is even probably a little harder still. How can folks connect with you if they want to follow what you're doing?
They can follow me on, well, I have a LinkedIn account. They're always welcome to connect with me. And then I guess on Instagram too. So I have an Instagram. I don't use it too much. I'm trying to, like we joked about it before this interview, was I'm a terrible millennial, probably should have been a boomer. And but yeah, I'm not on it as much, but LinkedIn, you can definitely reach out, and I'm always happy to answer any questions and be of any support that I can be too.
Awesome. Well, Stacey, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
What about you? I know there are great stories out there to be told, and I am always on the lookout. So if you or someone you know has a story that we can all be inspired by, tell me about it. Surf on over to undonepodcast.com and drop me a note. Coming up, I've got my friend, coach, and author Reed Maltby, who will share about his story in his new book, The Spartan Mindset. Next up, Dr. Ram Hadass will stop by to share his story of traveling to the U.S. from Israel, working with the iconic Indiana Hoosiers basketball team, and his work today as a decorated researcher. Then, educator, researcher, and former collegiate athlete Quincy Conley drops by to share his tale of working his way up through corporate America and higher ed. This and more coming up on Becoming Undone. Becoming Undone is a NitroHype creative production written and produced by me, Toby Brooks. If you or someone you know has a story of resilience and victory to share for Becoming Undone, contact me at undonepodcast.com. Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Becoming Undone Pod. And follow me at Toby J. Brooks. Listen, subscribe, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Till next time, everybody, keep getting better.